John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. The south of South America, Argentina, a rich land, Chile, a rich and naturally resourced, blessed land. And yet, we have questions always about the south of the south. In this particular instance, I begin with food insecurity, which is global now, given the war in Ukraine and the lack of fertilizer that is said to plague the crops of South America. Brazil is mentioned, but so is Peru. So is all of the parts of the South America that we take for granted being bountiful in food. Food security, Professor, is a new concern for the global South because of the war in Ukraine. It's mentioned repeatedly right now about Peru. Mr. Castillo, the president there, is said to be dismissive of the lack of fertilizer, saying the ancient peoples who live here didn't use fertilizer. I step past him to ask in general, are you hearing reports now about other states, Santiago or Buenos Aires or other capitals, worried about the coming food security that is global in Africa and in South Asia?
John, this is absolutely a major issue, and it really has two components. Number one is the current high food prices and the shortages of some of the basic goods in part because of what's happened in Ukraine. The very types of staple goods that impact the poor people most, and keeping in mind that the economic position of the poor people were weakened across the region by COVID-19, and the ability of the government to subsidize and protect was also undercut by the amount of spending that they did in response to COVID-19. So you have higher prices for food in the near term impacting those people, and the government not being able to do enough to help protect them. That has already led to a series of different politically relevant protests and riots. And in Peru itself, you had the major shutdowns and riots in Callao and in other parts of the country. In Panama, you had politically significant protests. In Ecuador, you've had politically significant protests, and even in Central America. So the risk is that, when do we move past this? And so really, fertilizer creates, phase two. And it's not just the Russian fertilizers. It's also other supply chains. But so the risk is that if the amount of fertilizer are available for current planting season is reduced. This has become a problem for Brazilian farmers right now. This has become a problem for Argentine farmers. This has become a problem for Peruvian farmers, despite what President Castillo may say. And so the risk is that, this may not eliminate, but it will certainly significantly reduce the production of next year's harvest, which means that the things that are politically a problem now because of the current expensive food and difficulties will become even a more acute crisis in the year to come as the economic effects of the other things playing out across the region deepen. So this is something that we don't hear enough about in Washington, D.C., but will become an increasing factor of instability in the region and, frankly, will further contribute to the polarization and mobilization as essentially left-centric governments engage in probably ill-conceived policies that further contribute to capital flight and other problems. So this is a major news storm brewing for 2023.
I agree with you, Professor. I read exotic stories from Europe about the nutritional value of insects, because that's all ahead of us in certain parts of the world. One more detail. Cristina Kirchner, on trial in Buenos Aires, the vice president, former leader of the country, for corruption having to do with what is said to be the Santa Cruz state, which is her power base, charges of diverting funds or paybacks having to do with infrastructure. She made a courtroom speech calling it a staged fable. Right now, your opinion of Cristina Kirchner's position. I see that her approval rating hasn't moved even since the attempted assassination. Is she fighting to hang in there, or is this a powerful force that can't be defeated? What is your measure? We have a couple of minutes.
Well, certainly a lot is going to depend on what the results of the trial now taking place over what they call the road case is. These are accusations that during her administration, 2007 to 2015, that essentially she participated in the diversion of contracts into companies that basically benefited her through an associate, one of the people that's talked about in Santa Cruz, which again, corrupt provincial politics now coming front and center, a person by the name of Lizardo Baez. But this is actually the second major scandal. There was another case called the Notebook case, which involved a number of corrupt Chinese and other companies. Now, those charges were basically dismissed on technicalities in 2019 and 2021. Many people saw that there was an unwillingness of the political establishment to fully pursue them. But especially after Kristina got there was an assassination attempt against her life during the trial itself, that got her a certain amount of sympathy vote. And so her core supporters are, you know, even if they say, well, maybe she's guilty, but we still support her. I mean, people like the mothers of the Plaza Mayo and others kind of are showing that kind of moral support, whether she is guilty or not. Although she may or may not have to face prison for these possible corruption allegations, the larger question is that next year, in October 23, you have elections, and her Peronist movement, and also her part of it, the Front for Victory, is only polling about 24 to 30% right now, and so this could indirectly contribute to Argentina moving possibly back to the right in 2023, which would be one of the few and probably the first major country to move away from this pink tide movement toward the left that we've been talking about across the region.
Professor Avanelis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, New World Report. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.